This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. Hey, hey, you.
Now that I have found you. It's Clousy. He knows how to pick it. Welcome back. It's a Hall of Fame hour. Martin Kilcoyne and Jason Isringhausen. How about that?
A couple of red jackets here in studio. This music, I love Frank's music, but this one sounds a little like the open to a 70s TV show.
You're right.
Is it? It sounds a little like...
This is the Spinners, correct?
I would assume this is on a lot of movie soundtracks, both old and new, I would assume.
Or like a spinoff from Different Strokes. Gary Coleman's got his own show, and he's looking at the camera, pointing. This little music's playing.
Boogie Nights.
It kind of just feels...
All right.
I know better than to make fun. I'm not making fun of Frank's music, okay?
I do choose
just saying, this particular song sounded a bit like an open to like a 70s TV show. That's
I can
all.
See that. Yeah, very good stuff.
Frank, were you blown away by weather? And I don't mean your home or family, but your sports last night. Did you get some time at 10? Did you do regular?
Yeah, we got a full time. We got
did you?
3:15, yeah.
We were in full weather mode.
Did they cut you?
Oh, yeah, big time. And in fact... Now, the TKO is sponsored, I always say. That baby's sponsored. And last night they said, too bad.
Ooh.
And I have to tell
you. Somebody call his sponsor of that and let them know. You know, they're not running their spots.
In fact, there are many nights where I might have had to crank it out kind of last minute. It's probably not going to win the Emmy that night. But last night I wrote a whole piece about the guy, Lindell, who flopped. And I said, worst acting since Keanu Reeves. I actually spent a bunch of time crafting it, and I was very excited about it. So I went into the booth at 10:30 and I said, you know, we could record it here now that we're off the air, and they could still run it on the morning show, or I could put it online. I actually thought it was kind of clever and funny. They said, no, we're coming back, we're going full weather for the next hour, can't do it. And I sort of slumped away. I'm like, I actually labored over that script, I was proud of that script, and it never made.
Well, if it means anything, we're actually doing something on Lindell with Chris Kerver's call, so, you know.
Well, hopefully that'll get dropped.
Of course, nobody will be watching tonight at 10 with the Blues.
Gosh, what do you do? What can you do? We should probably just go home.
Yeah.
Well, we got to show a couple of Cardinal highlights.
That is just a lonely feeling, knowing that the people that are watching don't care because there's no way. They don't, you know.
Well, we got a lot of great stories tonight. Please tune in.
Yeah.
I was trying to make a diving reference, and Curbs had the Greg Louganis. So as I was sitting there writing, I said, well, I'll come up with another one. And I was like, well, now Mark Spitz was a swimmer. Like, there's some good swimmers over the years. Michael Phelps, he's a swimmer. I couldn't think of any divers. So I Googled it, and there's a ranker list for everything, but there was a ranker list of the all-time great divers.
Huh.
You've never heard of any of
them?
Guy? There was one that was pretty recent. They said American so-and-so medalist several times. Like, I don't remember the name.
How about a female diver? I remember Julie Capps, who went from St. Louis.
But yeah. I mean, they're really, if you look at it, Greg Louganis
is the guy.
Is the guy.
How about this? We had Louganis in studio about 10
years
ago.
Did Iggy book him?
Yeah. But I had him in
straight
studio. I remember interviewing him and asking him, remember, because he had HIV, and then his head hit the back of the board and there was blood, and he didn't tell the trainer or the doctor who went in there, you know, like touching his head and was touching his blood. Now, I think to get it, the doctor would also have a cut where the blood could seep in. I don't know for sure, but I think that's the case.
Did he say that he had regrets or?
Oh, yeah. I mean, how could you not, if you know you are bleeding and you know you have HIV and the guy is touching your head? Oh, my gosh.
I mean, famous for so many things. I mean, first of all, he was a great diver. And then, so you'd
remember. The best ever.
Well, I would say you would remember him for that. The incident where he hits the platform, when it was a pretty famous moment in and of itself. And then the fact it turns out he had HIV was another huge story. I mean, you could make reference to him, and I know Kerber was doing it in the diving sense, but you could reference Greg Louganis, and a million different things come to mind.
By the way, the lovely Wendy Williams from St. Louis was a great diver.
That's it.
The talk show host, Wendy Williams?
No, a different one. Okay. Oh, yeah, she's from St. Louis, yeah.
Probably, what, mid-90s?
Yes.
Around that time. Was she in Atlanta? I'm trying to
no,
think
no,
of
I was
her...
in Atlanta. She wasn't there that time.
Okay.
I love how Frank immediately goes, well, what about female divers? We may know them. Thinking...
Yeah, I don't know
the
many.
The Sinewy. All right, I know we got Izzy coming up. Let's do Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's Five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Monique happens to be listening for the second time this month, or this calendar year. Why were you worried about female drama?
Ever. Second time ever.
All right, you are Mike Schilt. Will you move Matt Carpenter from leadoff? Are you thinking about it?
Oh, I'm definitely thinking about it. There's no question, especially with Colton Wong and that incredible bunt last night, and he has been an on-base machine, or been much better getting on base. I don't know. I'm just kind of debating back and forth what this does to Carpenter psyche. But I do think that I could maybe relieve a little bit of the pressure for him and hit him a little down in the order. We got to try something different because it's not working as it is.
Right. I mean, if the argument is he has to hit leadoff because that's where he produces, but he's not producing. So it doesn't matter. He's got 31 strikeouts in 104 at-bats. And I would love to know, and I'm not going to do this to Hoff because this is too random, but of his 31 strikeouts, how many of those are leading off a game? And how many of those are taken, called, and how many of those did he think it wasn't a strike and he gets pissed at the umpire? Doesn't it seem like almost every game begins with a punch out on a called third strike and then he's mad at the umpire? 31 Ks, 104 at-bats.
Now, Brian is the king of statistics. Brian, I bet there's a number, though, about just how great he's been as a leadoff hitter over the years.
Like his average there versus everywhere else in the lineup.
Yeah, or his on base percentage for leadoff hitters in the last decade or something like that. See, I think in St. Louis, we don't look at that close enough. I think we have these moments like this, and then we look at his batting average at the end of the season. Bottom line is the leadoff hitter is supposed to get on base, and very few have done it as well as Matt Carpenter over a decade almost.
You're right. His batting average typically is not the whole story.
Yeah.
It's more about how he gets on. I have a feeling that Schilt will give him a long leash. It's funny. We all said about Fowler, well, how long is that leash? I wonder if by May 1st you're moving him out of... Never thought there'd be a question about your leadoff hitter and whether you leave him in that spot. I just think Schilt, the way he's gone about it, and it's not just players that he might be real close with, whether it's Carpenter. He seems to leave the lineup alone quite a bit.
Carpenter has the highest OBP amongst leadoff men since 2013, which was the first year he became the leadoff man for the team.
The highest in baseball since 2013?
Yes, 387 as a leadoff
hitter.
I mean,
enough said, you give him a lead.
Yeah.
I think just the offense itself just seems fine. Even if he's not hitting, it's not...
It doesn't matter.
It's not being a huge detriment to the offense. They're still scoring runs.
All right, Frank, tell me something in the last 24 hours you've heard that's dumber than this. And I heard it during the radio broadcast last night with Rooney and Horton. The Nationals, when they need a player, they call them up from AA. And I heard them say that. I'm like, what? And then they explained the Nats AAA affiliate is in Sacramento. So they said it's too hard to get players quickly to D.C. And I thought, well, why would you have a trip? If you're the Washington Nationals... So they call up players from AA when they need a player. The Cardinals tell them to hop on Highway 55. Stop by Lambert's on the way.
How inconvenient AAA. Is that?
Their AAA Nats, I was listening to Rooney and Horton. They were explaining why they call players from AA right to the big leagues with the Nats. Because the AAA team is too far away. I'm like, isn't that just stupid?
God.
I mean, the Cardinals had
they're
Louisville
in Fresno now. They started there. They moved from Sacramento to Fresno.
Okay, so that's much closer.
Yes.
So but no still. Wonder they have they ever won a playoff series?
No.
Yeah.
Does that make any sense? Oh, there's no location in Virginia.
Actually, it was in Syracuse.
But that's a little better. And I'm sure
that's
there's a
weird.
Reason why they had some falling out or something. But
now
you can't.
It's in Fresno.
Isn't the whole idea? Hey, you got a team in Louisville. Yeah. Where are you? St. Louis. Okay. The Cubs are always Des Moines, right? Nearby. You can get in a car. For the most part, when you think of a team's affiliate. It's at least in the same time zone. They said they literally call players up from double. So if you're in the Nats system, and you're in AAA, you're like, God, I hope I get demoted to AA so I can actually get called up to the big leagues. Isn't that weird?
Gosh.
All right, number three, you are Doug Armstrong. Are you thinking at this point that trading Jake this summer is a priority? Or are you thinking not yet?
Well, I'm going to see how Ville Husso does in various summer competitions and where he's playing. Ideally, it would be great to move Jake. I know it's, you know, you're trading a stock after it's dropped dramatically. But I still am not 100% convinced Ville Husso is a great backup. Or maybe there's a veteran backup I could pick up for not a whole lot of money. I just don't know enough about Husso to think he can be my backup goaltender. Plowsy, you have a thought there?
And what's the – I don't know the upside of trading a Jake Allen at this point. He's almost more valuable being a backup. You know, you kind of know what you get with him rather than paying him all that money and then getting a compensatory pick. You know, you can't think you're going to get a lot for Jake Allen, do you think, Martin? I mean –
I think the value is low. So
what,
you
did you get a fourth-round pick?
Yeah, and you might as well just... Because you don't know if Bennington can have a sophomore slump, but at least Jake Allen has experience, and he does have those flashes. He's very inconsistent. So I would just, I think it's just... Unless somebody can wow you with a deal, maybe adding a defenseman, I'd go get it.
You're right. The value would be low, and maybe you would still need him, so you probably aren't there yet. If you're Jake, are you asking for a trade?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's anxiously awaiting for the offseason, because I think he would certainly want to trade. Because another team you would think would give him an opportunity at least to try to be the guy.
All right, number four, here's the quote from Theo Epstein, the Cubs president, or czar, whatever his title is. And this is, there was a report the other day that said writers who have been critical of the Cubs' handling of Addison Russell, or their embracing of him or welcoming him back, etc., that they're being threatened by the Cubs organization. And I don't know if they were saying that the credentials would be pulled, but basically that the Cubs were being intimidating to those writers. Theo said, if you want to write critical articles about Addison or the club's handling, you're more than welcome to. We believe in the freedom of the press. This is certainly an issue where we expect there to be some strong opinions, and people have the right to have those opinions, express them however they want. We support that. We would never try to stifle freedom of the press or that type of free expression. I saw that story that was out there. I'm not calling it into question other than to say the threat of reprisal to a media member about any topic, especially one of this nature, is not acceptable. I'd be really surprised if it happened at the Cubs. If it did, I'd want to know who it was, because they wouldn't be working for the Cubs much longer.
Well,
do you think he is really going to take action here? Because it sounds like if this is true, then he's got to find out if a media PR guy or somebody did say something. It sounds like they're getting fired. Do you think anything will come of this?
No. Probably not, but it was a good, strong public stance.
Let's put correct. It this way. The guy who did it isn't getting fired. Why would somebody who says don't be mean about it would get fired?
But you win by just making that statement. That was a baller move.
And he said that's a fireable offense to try and threaten a media member because of unfavorable coverage, especially on a topic of this nature.
And, Martin, that. You're a guy who complains about the Cardinals PR guy because you can't text in the clubhouse. Jeez, imagine this. Aren't they a little vigilant about that?
Mo, are you aware of what's going on? I was threatened to have my phone taken away. Well, that's not acceptable. It's tricky
right.
Because, Frank, you can't grab your phone.
It's insane. You're near 3:30, and you maybe want to text your producer, hey, I got a good soundbite with Colton Wong. And if they see you, it's one guy in particular, if they see you with the phone out, they will reprimand you.
I think Doug Vaughn's been reprimanded a lot, but it's tricky because his phone is his camera.
Yeah, that's Channel 4, quite a budget.
Which is a...
oh, man.
Which is a great coverall, though. Is that your phone? No, that's my camera.
But isn't that crazy?
Who's been yelled at the most? I think Mo Drummond got slapped around a little bit.
Really? Yeah.
I did last year.
What are we doing? We're telling a producer what we got.
What did you do?
I had my phone out. And I want to say, I'm a grown-ass man.
See, I don't know the guy you're talking about.
I'm a 40-year-old man.
When you're in the clubhouse in the pregame, you're not allowed to have a phone out. And I'm not, is it because of pictures?
Like, the pictures.
Like, I really want to take a picture of a naked, you know, John Gant. Please.
Clip that off.
That's unbelievable. getting past that, Like, I don't know the guy, but it's...
Well, let's stay on topic.
It sounds like a personality trait where...
Would you have quick vision and Gantt there? Did I distract you?
He is a very good-looking gentleman. A lot of people have their phone out, and this sounds like a personality trait, maybe a power trip, maybe overuse of power. You don't feel like you're in control, so you try to make the situation to where you are in control. But I don't know the person, so I don't want to slap a label, but it just seems like that's the case.
Yeah. I honestly don't even know.
Who the person is.
No. I don't even know the person's name. I'm being honest with you. Anyway, we'll get that address because if Theo
we'll
is going
to get the name.
We're going to get. No, I'm saying it is a topic that we should.
There's
nothing
worse than a Nazi soldier PR guy trying to protect the team. Please, give me
true.
A break.
How about the fact Mike Caruso, who's been with the Blues forever, and we pick on Mike, but the other night after game, the other afternoon after game two, I said to him, the way you bring players out doesn't really work for anyone because it's such a crazy scrum. It's so crowded. I said, what if you just had three or four guys in the room spread out? And he said, it doesn't really work because you guys all go to the one person anyway, and the other three or four are just standing there the whole time. And I said, I don't know. Something's got – I said, look at me. I'm carrying a stepladder. I said, it's just going to get worse the further you advance.
Well,
so he sends me a picture from Dallas the other night. He said, I can't say what he called me, but he said, take a look. And there were four or five players spread. I said, this is really great, except that doesn't help me because I'm in St. Louis. You're in Dallas. But they can be coached, Frank. How about that?
That is impressive. And I don't really mind it that much because the one thing I like about the Blues is if you're interviewing Bomeister, well, hopefully not, but if, let's just say you're interviewing Colton Parayko. When he's done, bang, here goes Binnington. And when he's done, bang, here comes Jaden Schwartz.
Right.
I mean, I understand
assembly
what you're
line,
saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they do it in a rapid-fire fashion, which I don't mind at all. And the Blues are so much – they're so good.
I'm pointing out that you can actually make a critique or constructive criticism. They actually took it to heart.
Yeah. With that said, Brian Bartow has about the best disposition of any PR guy in the history of public relations.
I've never seen him too high. I've never seen him too low, you know?
You know, you remember the story when I got into a little trouble with MLB in San Diego. So the Cardinals have just clinched, okay? And Brian says, right before we go on, because we're doing a live show, he says, you can be live, but you have to be outside the clubhouse. So you can take it to right here. So I'm bringing like a player just outside the clubhouse that we're doing live. And then the players kind of were pretty far away, so we just kind of took a few steps in. And all of a sudden, we're dead in the middle, and we're doing a live hour-long show inside the Cardinal Clubhouse. And then MLB the next day was very upset with me. So
I think similar to that, in 2012, the Game 5 went over the Nats, that crazy comeback. I think it was a Friday night. Mo Drummond is our reporter on site, but our engineer is from Washington, D.C., well, they never cover the playoffs. They don't have these long, deep runs in Washington. So the engineer says, yeah, we're all set. He goes, I got the line and everything. It's right in the middle of the clubhouse. So Maurice's like, what do I do? I said, just go in there. So he's on the air for like 30, 40 minutes, just grabbing players right after the game ended, which is not allowed. And of course, I would have denied knowing any better.
Yeah.
So after about 40 minutes, he said, hey, we just got kicked out. I said, that's fine. It was
30,
40 minutes later. Who cares?
It's not like we're doing anything immoral and ethical. It's just a stupid rule by MLB to try to protect the, you know, the rights holders. And just we worked around it, and, you know, that's the way it goes.
Today's podcast, segment one, Martin and Frank hate the rules. All right, number five, pick to click tonight. I'll go first. I'll go Robbie Fabry for no real reason, just to say I was the guy who picked him. Anybody, are you going to stick with O'Reilly?
Did I say Pat Maroon the other night? I may have said Maroon a game before.
Might have been that.
Then we ought to edit it where, hey, Frank said Maroon, and then Maroon goes. Let's see. I will go tonight with Braden Schenn. Going to break out of it.
He's due.
Really due.
The due factor. All right, Five for Frank brought to you by Greenville University. We're going to talk to the president of Greenville, Ivan Philby, when we come back, and then Izzy. On deck, the Hall of Famer.